better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I am getting wrecked through social media and our text line about my lack of fishing knowledge. It's okay. I'll take it.
Normally, and I'm a little surprised, normally you have just enough knowledge to fake your way through a conversation. But when you said, what's a live well, I knew you were in trouble.
Listen, the last time I went fishing was deep sea fishing in the Keys last year. And it was awesome. And I enjoyed it, but...
Well, they had live wells on that boat. Now, they probably...
Yeah, but it was labeled. I mean, how was I supposed to know? It's just like, hey, put it in there. All right. Done.
They probably loaded it up with ice. That's generally when you go deep sea fishing.
I'm sure they did.
Load it up with ice to put your...
Again, it wasn't labeled saying, hey, this is a live well. Like, I just... hey, put it here. All right. Sure. I'll do whatever I can. So, but I'm okay, folks. When Tommy takes me fishing, I'll become a pro. Don't worry. So, but I'm just getting wrecked.
Overnight.
Yes, overnight. I'll be that type of person. But
if we go fly fishing, what kind of midges do you want to use?
I mean, obviously, I need the besmirged midges.
The what?
The besmirged midges.
I'll see if I can play mix some of those up.
Yeah, because those to me are the best quality of midges that you could have. In fact, the true pros use the besmidges of midges. So, anyways.
Okay. I'll tell you what we're going to, do you want to fly fish or you want to bait fish if we go to the White River and go to Gaston's?
I don't know, man. Bait, I guess.
All right. Yeah, that was said with confidence. You had about as much confidence as Chad Morris on that answer.
You tell me what to do and how do it and I'll be there.
You want
to
go catching or you want to go fishing?
Go fishing.
All right.
I want to eat what I catch, Tommy.
All right. That answers everything. That's all I need to know. We're going to go bait fishing.
All right. Looking forward to it. We'll give everybody a full report.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Of it when we get back from it. But
and I'll show you what a live well is.
Yes. Well,
when Clay gets here and finds out you don't even know what a live well is.
I'm surprised he's already said he's not coming on today because of this fact. He's already taken the day off because he doesn't want to deal with my nonsense on lack of knowledge on fishing. But I'm telling you, we'll get to that point where I'll actually know at least a little bit about it. But with Arkansas and Auburn coming up tomorrow, 11 a.m., obviously, we've been discussing a lot about this game and all week long, trying to figure out what to expect, where the hope lies. We know that the quarterback situation is completely and totally up in the air. Chad Morris doesn't know. I don't know. Do you think Chad Morris knows who he's going to start right now? Or is he truly just...
No, surely he knows. I'd like to think he's got a good idea who's going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, which I'd like to think so, too. However, he was so adamant about when he was on there for his press conference on the field. I believe that was Wednesday. Was it Wednesday or Thursday? Yeah, it was Wednesday. When he goes out there on the field for his press conference and he's asked about a quarterback, he says, no, haven't named one yet, and I'm not going to.
It was defiant.
Right. Yeah. And you could tell, at least from my assumption from it all and just from what I saw, you could tell that he knew that question was coming, and he has probably – gotten really tired of being asked that for not only just this season, but for really the past season and a half that he's been the Arkansas Razorback head coach. That's been something he has been asked every single game.
He knows he's in the crosshairs right now. He knows that there's some heat and I can understand why he's responding, and I don't know that he's digging his heels in. I didn't get that feeling, but he's getting a taste of what it's like when you're in the SEC. And he knows this isn't new to him. He knows what it's like when you're in a Power 5 program with expectations. He was there at Clemson when Dabo brought him in and said, hey, if we don't win and win pretty quickly, we're all fired. And he felt that pressure then. It's a little different, though, when you're the head man and everybody's looking to you for the answers, or they're all fired. 150 people. Done. So, I mean, that's a big responsibility, because when a head coach changes, the equipment people change pretty much. The film and video people change. All the assistant coach. You're talking about 400, 500 people's lives. But by the time you figure the people that work in the department and their families and their kids, you're talking about a lot of people's lives, hundreds of people's lives that are in the hands of the head coach.
Yeah.
It's a big responsibility. So I think he understands the pressure that's on him right now.
No, I think he does too. And I mean, I don't know how you can't with the amount of social media and all that stuff. I'm sure he doesn't look at his mentions or anything like that. At least I wouldn't. But it's very apparent. It's very.
Let's not leave talk radio out of it.
Well, that too. But I'm just saying, like, you have direct contact though with a lot of these coaches. So it's just the way time is now. And you, I know the fans have wanted to voice their frustrations. They've voiced it all over the place, not only on social media, of course, on sports talk radio and all of that. So the pressure is definitely on. And that what makes the indecision at quarterback so much worse, I think, for fans. Yeah. Because right now, Tommy, we're not in practices. We don't get to see who's developing what, who's in the film room doing what. But based off what we've seen in six games, in this game against Auburn, who would you start at quarterback?
I mean, I think I would have to go with Ben Hicks. He's been more consistent since the A&M game.
I'd have to agree.
Based on what I've seen in the games, because that's all we have to go by, I'd have to go with Hicks for now.
I have to agree with you. Yeah. I mean, because he's looked much better than Starkle over the past few games, especially in SEC games, too.
Hey, get by Arkansas Valley Electric just north of Van Buren Highway 59 today. It's a Van Buren address. 5600 North Highway 59 is their new service office. If you haven't heard, Arkansas Valley Electric is bringing high-speed internet with fiber connections right to your door if you're an Arkansas Valley member. Television service and phone service as well. It's Wave Rural Connect. You don't want to miss out on this. So if you're struggling where you're at to get high-speed internet and you're an Arkansas Valley member, they're going to be bringing internet, TV, and phone service to you. If you sign up today, the $100 sign-up fee is waived. They're going to have lunch today for you with hot dogs, chips, and sodas. So stop in, see their office if you haven't been there before. It's from 11 till 2 today at Arkansas Valley Electric Cooperative just north of Van Buren on Highway 59. Now, they got 100 megabit plans for $49.95 for internet, gigabit plans for $79.95, and ask about TV and phone service as well. Go to WaveRuralConnect.com and find out when they're connecting folks in your neighborhood. And they're starting now in South Fort Smith and parts of Crawford County as well. That's 11 till 2 today, 5600 North Highway 59 in Van Buren. And the $100 sign-up fee is waived when you sign up today at Arkansas Valley Electric with Wave Rural Connect. Arkansas Valley Electric Cooperative and Wave Rural Connect, changing the communities we serve.
I mean, we can sit here and we can talk about quarterbacks. We can talk about who's going to start, if it's going to be Ben Hicks or Nick Starkle, but at the end, doesn't matter. I mean, does it really matter who this starts week? A quarterback this week?
Well, I mean, yeah, it matters. Because if you get beat 35 or if you get beat 14, it matters. It matters in the level of frustration, anger, and pushback with your fan base. That erodes a little bit more every week with these losses. It was massive last week following a game the fans felt you should have won. That coaching decisions and bad quarterback play once again got in the way. You know, if you played the perfect game this week, are you going to win? That's still very doubtful. Very slim chance of winning this game. But boy, if you played within a couple of touchdowns, people would have some confidence that, you know, okay, you got to get through Bama, but maybe, just maybe, if we can consistently continue to improve, Mississippi State's within reach. Western Kentucky's not as worrisome as it was a week ago. It's just the way it is as a football fan. When you lose, it never feels like you're ever, ever going to win again. And when you win, how are they ever going to beat us? And those are just there's no in-between as a football fan. And right now, it never feels like you're going to win again if you're an Arkansas fan. You're wondering, what have we done to make you mad, God? And how can we make it right? Because it feels like we're never going to win a game again.
Paying for the sins of Bobby Petrino.
Something. We thought we did this thing right in 2012. You know, we thought we were going by the good book here. Apparently we did something wrong.
You should know college football doesn't go by the big book or the good book. You know that. You know.
That's how it is as a football fan. Man, you win a game, we're going to win them all. We're going to win out. May not beat us for four more years.
Yep, exactly.
Well, hang on, you only beat Tulsa, all right?
Yeah.
Well, I know, but do you see how we were playing on? We were flying to the ball on defense now. Special teams are coming together.
It's a feeling that people get, though, after a win like that. But, Tommy, if
you lose, my God, I don't know. We're going to have to fire everybody. I don't know if we're ever going to win again.
But, Tommy, you have six games left this season. And we know what the schedule looks like. What percentage are you putting on that Arkansas wins another game?
Just any game?
Any game?
I'd go north of 50. I certainly wouldn't go 100%, but I'd say 70%.
That's a little higher than I thought it would be. Because mm-hmm. I'd say even 50%. I'd say it's got a 50% chance of it happening. Right. What about the percentage of winning an SEC game?
Why are you asking me the hard questions? 20%.
20%. Okay.
Because I think you only really have two opportunities. Clay brought this up last week. Kelly Bryant may not make it all the way till the end. They got some tough teams still ahead on their schedule. The way he runs the ball, there's no guarantees he's going to remain upright. He may not be available. That gives you maybe a little better shot if that, I mean, we're not rooting for injuries here, but that's just a reality in Southeastern Conference football. So the Missouri game, while that's a ranked team and you think, how could you even say Missouri could be a winnable game? It's going to take some things happening, but that game is probably out of the games you got left, second or third most likely to get a W.
So. Yeah. I would put it as Western Kentucky, your best chance.
Right.
And then
I mean, as far as you ask about conference games.
Oh, conference games. Yeah. Then I'd say Mississippi State's probably your best chance left. Well,
oh, absolutely.
And then probably Missouri after that.
Right.
So, but regardless.
I'll tell you, and it doesn't seem like this is the year. Wacky stuff happens in that LSU in those LSU games, but I cannot fathom a scenario where that could happen. But you know what? Was it Bielema's first year? They went down there and let the guy get behind him on the last play of the game. The corner fell down, or the safety fell down, and they had no business being in that game. So, but this is a much better LSU team.
Yeah.
Much better.
And honestly, I think that Arkansas team was much better than this Arkansas team.
And
much
LSU better. At that point is going to be in the middle of, perhaps a Heisman chase. And it's just, you know, that game's going to depend how close Arkansas can keep. It's going to depend on how the Alabama game comes out for them, for LSU.
Yeah. Well, and I think that when I've talked to a lot of guys, especially Matt Moscona down there on ESPN 104.5 in Baton Rouge, one of the things he always brought up was that anytime LSU lost to Alabama, there was always a huge letdown the next couple of weeks. And usually in that time frame, they played Arkansas. And that was always kind of a factor that went into why LSU never played that well. But see, that's the thing, Tommy, is, you know, you bring up when you're losing, you never feel like you're going to lose again. I think that's at the point where I'm at right now. I just assume that Arkansas is going to lose the rest of their games. I'm not saying it'll for sure happen. They may win one, but I mean, am I crazy to think that they will lose the rest of their games?
That's how it feels. I mean, when you're in a state of despair, desperation, hopeless, like this program has been for 7 years, it just feels like you're never going to win.
No.
We had a few brief moments where Burt led them to two back-to-back SEC wins, what, LSU and Ole Miss.
Shut out.
Beat Texas. He had a few moments, but there's been very few highs. I wouldn't call those highs. Those aren't peaks. I mean, I don't know. It's just, well, you yearn for the days of 2010 and 2011.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even the issue where,
and we're not even asking for that right now, man. We just, can you get back to 8 or 9 wins?
Can you get back to just a bowl game at this point? I mean, because even if you add into the issue.
That's the thing. The more we get beat down, the more we suffer, the lower we get our expectations.
Yeah.
And that's the dangerous thing.
Well, because even the issue of, for instance, when you brought up the Brett Bielema years and the time that, especially in the first 2 years where they struggled, but in year two, not only did you have those wins, which were nice, and people felt really good after going 7-6, that Texas Bowl, thought you were really going to take off. That was there, of course. But what also went into that too, Tommy, is your schedule was probably as tough as it's ever been in the SEC, because that was during a time where Mississippi State was number one in the country with Dak Prescott. You had Ole Miss, which was a great team too, still at Alabama. But in every one of those games, you played Georgia that year too. Every one of those games you were in. You were competitive. You felt like you had no business being in them, but you were. And that's why there was always more hope, even though you were losing, even though you were still having that long losing streak in SEC play. You still had 70,000 plus fans show up for that LSU game because they knew that at some point in time, it was going to happen. The brakes were going to go Arkansas's way. They were just this close to making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that way with Arkansas now. Because it's not like you've been going up against the Georgia or Mississippi State with Dak Prescott or Alabama and only losing by a point. You've been going up against bad, maybe at best average teams and losing in fashions that doesn't make you feel like, oh, maybe they were so close, but man, they just need to play here or there. It was more like all the bad decisions, the lack of preparation, the lack of motivation, the lack of overall discipline in these games is what's costing them.
Yeah.
And it's not just a matter of talent.
You played six games that you could have won five.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
Now you play the games that you don't think you have four of the next six. You don't think you have much of a chance.
Yeah.
Because they're just clearly better than you.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah.
Auburn, clearly better than you. Bama, clearly better than you. LSU. I'll put Missouri right now, as it's constructed, clearly better than you.
Is it for sure that Western Kentucky's not better?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, don't take that away from us too, John.
I'm just saying. I've been ridden with poison, rat poison. That's what Nick Saban likes to say.
Ryan Saban.
Yeah, of all the bad things that have happened to Arkansas. But you know what? I'm not full of barbecue, and I'm really upset about it because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Sassy's menu. And I got to tell you about it because it's such a fantastic place, my favorite place to be.
What I'd give for Alan to bring over about 2 pounds of that brisket for us to just nibble on right now during the show.
And throw in some tortillas. Way we can make it at least like a...
And some of the smoked sausage, some of the hot links and stuff. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You do that, I'll get some eggs.
Mm. And then eggs. Well, just bring me some of that. But some of that sauce.
If you do that, you can make it into breakfast because we got to eat breakfast here. But listen, if I guarantee you, if Sassy's was open for breakfast time, they would be fantastic at that as well. The brisket's amazing. Their pulled pork's amazing. Their smoked chicken, their smoked turkey, whatever your menu option is, it's going to be amazing. You want to get in the Razorback mood, though, if you're trying to will your team to a victory tomorrow, get the Moo Pig Suey Burger. Not only is it a burger, but then it's topped with pulled pork, barbecue sauce, jalapenos, queso, and mozzarella cheese. So, and I need a Pepsi AC for that as well, but I guarantee you it'd be worth it. So get the barbecue nachos, award-winning smoked wings, best catfish on Weddington, and it's all right there at Sassy's with their two locations in Fayetteville, off of College and off of Weddington. We have a few of you texting in and calling into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Josh and Harrison text in and says, "So you're saying there's a chance?" Yeah. Yep, there's always a chance, even though it's the chance is so slim that it may not even be worth mentioning. Corey and Roger says, regardless of any more wins, I say get through the next two games and let KJ Jefferson have the rest of the season. KJ Jefferson might be the fan favorite right now on the Razorback football team. Well, we have had more.
Hey, the backup quarterback's always the most popular guy on every team.
He's not even the backup. He's the backup to the backup, maybe even to the other backup.
I get it.
But I get why people want to see it, though. I get it.
Listen, and this goes back a long ways, but we'll bring up Darren McFadden since it's kind of his weekend up there.
It is.
You know, they didn't think he could play till they put him in, and then guess what happened? And it was against Vanderbilt, and they lost that game, but
yeah.
But he showed out, and then they put him in the next week, and it was on from then. Yeah. Matt Jones, another example.
I was about to say.
You put in the game, you didn't think, well, he's not ready, he hadn't shown it in practice, put him in the game. And he goes, what, it was a 50-yard run? I saw Mike Irwin referencing this one.
His first play ever as a Razorback was a touchdown pass for like 38 yards. Yeah.
So, sometimes you don't know until you put him out there under the lights.
That's right. That's right. And I think the Matt Jones example was great because what was the main reason they brought him in? It was because they were getting inconsistency at the quarterback position. They had to get some sort of spark going.
And what did Matt Jones bring to the table?
His legs.
Yeah. A running threat.
Yeah.
What do you need from your quarterback position you're not getting now?
Legs.
A running threat. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with the offense that you're trying to run. Being able to work with the RPO a little easier. And from what we've heard and what we've talked about, and I know Clay's going to be joining us here in a little bit too, and the things he said, kid's got a cannon of an arm too. Not saying he's accurate, not saying he's going to be able to complete every pass, but you at least know that he has a great arm and he has great athleticism and great legs. To me, that's a threat.
Like me.
Yeah. I think they get you confused all the time too. But that's, to me, is worth trying out. It's worth giving a shot. It really is. What do you have to lose at this point? What do you have to lose? Nothing. Yeah. Go out there and just see what the kid can do. Again, not saying he has to play every single snap. He doesn't even have to start for you. But get him in there. Get him. Get his feet wet. See what he can do.
None of us here on the show have said he needs to be the star.
No, not at all.
All we have said is he needs a couple of packages, a couple of series.
Yeah.
A couple of change of pace opportunities.
Yeah, because
that's all we're saying.
Well, because, Tommy, it's like if you're a defense and you're out there and you're going up against Starkle or Hicks, but when you see KJ Jefferson, you're like, oh, crap. All right, so we got to switch some things up here. We got to make sure that this guy has, we have a spy or something. Like, it just changes everything. Because like you said, the quarterbacks right now do not have that threat. And if they don't have that threat, like, they're not going to prepare for it. They're not going to care about it. They're going to completely and totally, when that quarterback's in the backfield, they're going to rely on their defending the pass instead of getting after the quarterback.
There's no college film on this guy either right now.
Exactly. None.
So maybe they don't want to say, I'm okay with not playing him this week and next week, but then those last four, he needs to play every one of those four.
In some capacity.
Yeah.
In some capacity.
I'm okay with the next two if I don't see him. I'm all right with that. But the last four, I want to see him every game.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to wait that long, but I get not playing against Auburn, Alabama. He doesn't need to play against Bama. Bama's just, you know, let just go through the motions on that one and get out of there healthy, I think, is the biggest thing, because that game's not going to be pretty. But the whole point is that if you're a team that's struggling, you're a team that is lacking a spark, an energy, especially somebody with a great, great athletic ability like KJ Jefferson, throw him in there.
What do you got to lose?
Yeah, you're 2-4. You're 2-4. He has not played yet, so you got all four games left for his redshirt.
Yep.
Still keep him redshirted. And from what we've been hearing, he's been performing fairly well in practice, at least well enough to at least give him a shot. And I think him alone doing that would be huge as well. And also with an offensive line that's been struggling too, Tommy. I mean, why wouldn't you want to have somebody that can maneuver around a little bit easier? I mean, it all just makes too much sense to me. But you think that we will not see KJ Jefferson in this game, though?
I don't know what to think anymore. there's no guarantees for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going
to
do.
To me, I wouldn't, but listen, it's not my butt on the line.
Hey, I put him in against and on NCAA football, Tommy, and he performed pretty well.
I think so. That's enough. That's all I need to see.
That's all the proof you need to make it happen. So hopefully Chad Morris, I'm sure he saw the video and watched it in its entirety too. I had some great plays, Coach. If you want to come after me, I can give you the rundown of them all.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Fenceman Friday football picks. Call the Fenceman for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fenceman. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, it is the Fenceman Friday picks. And to just give a quick recap of where we stand in the standings, I have caught up to Clay almost. So I guess not completely, but at least getting close to it.
Henry's back with us this week. Andy and Sean were here last week. How did they do in his place?
They got two. They got two of them right. They got the Arkansas and LSU games correct.
They didn't. Awesome. They didn't just trash your points there.
So. What I had going on. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So you're still in good shape. You're still in good shape. But just to give everybody a rundown right now, Clay's still in the lead with 16.
All right.
I have narrowed the gap. I'm at 15.
Ooh.
Tommy, you're at 13. Henry, you are at 12 at Fence Man. So still all in play. Well, one bad week can change everything.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and jump right into the picks for this weekend. Some great college football games. We will start with Penn State and Michigan. Go outside the SEC. Oh. This is the game of the week, at least when it comes to ranked opponents. This game's being played at Happy Valley. Penn State favored by 9 in this game. So, Henry, I'll give you the honors. Who are you going with, Penn State or Michigan? Penn State favored by 9.
I don't think they'll cover the spread, so I'll go with Michigan.
You go with Michigan. Okay. All right. Tommy?
In honor of our one of our Morning Rush alum, David Fuchs, who used to work here, was Penn State alum. And since it's the home team as well, I'm going to go with the home team and Penn State lay the points.
All right. Fair enough. Clay?
I'm going with Michigan.
Going with Michigan.
That's all. Yep.
All right.
I think they're starting to hit their stride.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So fair enough. I'm going to go along with Tommy here on Penn State as well. So going to go split.
All right.
Splitsy
here. This is where you guys catch.
Yeah.
Me,
this
right?
is where we can start making some ground up for sure.
It's just hard to root for Michigan.
I know.
I didn't say I was rooting for him. Now don't.
Yeah. Don't miss.
Well, now that you got a business interest in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
You'll find yourself pulling for Michigan.
We're not rooting for these teams. We're rooting.
It's just a pick.
Yeah.
There's no emotion in it at all.
Yeah.
Now, if you put Texas down there, there's going to be some emotion. But I don't think
there was last
Texas
week.
There was last week.
Yeah. We try not to get Texas too much in that because that would end up
being gets carried away.
Yeah, Clay would get carried away. So
starts cussing on the radio.
The other game I'm going to go with, and then this is an SEC game. It may not be the best SEC game, but I wanted to make it fun with a large spread. Alabama and Tennessee, it's the third Saturday in October rivalry or whatever they call it, even though Tennessee has not won one since 2006. Similar to Arkansas. Alabama's favored by 34.5 points in this game. That's a huge number, but it's always tough to go against Alabama. But I tell you what, I'll go ahead and start off since all of y'all went first the first time or last time. I'm going to take Tennessee. I don't think they lose by 35 points. I don't think they lose by 5 touchdowns. I don't think they win. But they're not going to lose that bad. So give me the Volunteers on that one. Clay, who do you have?
I've got Alabama.
Okay. Hard to bet against Alabama. Tommy?
Roll Tide.
All right. So we got Tommy and Clay both on Bama. What about you, Henry?
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go Tennessee.
Go Tennessee. Okay. I like this. We're splitting them.
I think Tennessee will be celebrating their win last week.
Yeah.
They won't have the same stinger this coming week.
Yeah, they had their own little club dub there in Tennessee.
Yeah,
I saw.
They did. Yeah, that's what happened, and I think that will doom them. And every once in a while there's a close Alabama Tennessee game, and maybe this is it. I understand where you're going with that. That's too many points to give up. But I just think that Tennessee's going to lay an egg this week.
That's fair enough, and it might just happen. All right, Auburn and Arkansas. We got to pick the Arkansas game. As of right now, Auburn is favored by 19.5 points against the Razorbacks. Henry, who are you going with?
I'll tell you, I'll go ahead and go with Arkansas.
You're going to go with Arkansas?
Yeah, I think they'll not win, but
keep it closer.
Yeah, keep it closer.
All right, fair enough. Tommy?
Give me Auburn.
Okay, Auburn for Tommy.
19.5.
19.5.
All right, 19. Give me Auburn.
All right, Clay?
I got Auburn, too.
You got Auburn as well.
Oh, boy, here we go.
All right, well, Henry, I'm with you. I'm going to go with Arkansas. Right. And again, I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think they'll keep it close. I like the stat about John Chavis and his defense. All right, real quick, final bonus point, guys. How many yards does Arkansas give up defensively? How many total yards does Auburn end up with this game?
In
total offense, right. Yep. I'm going to go with 450. Tommy?
485.
Dadgummit. All right. Henry?
486.
Come on.
Come on, guys.
This is terrible. All right. So, Clay?
$1.
$1. Smart move there. All right. So, there you have it.
I never get to go last.
This is going
to
be a great one, guys, because every one of the games, we're split down the middle. Two of us have one team. Two of us have the other team. So, it should be perfect.
I can't win that point. I'm absolutely hosed on that, aren't I?
I don't think you're hosed.
Well, unless they land on 485. If he's got 486, I can't unless...
You're right.
I'm hosed.
Oh, yeah, you are hosed.
You,
I thought you were talking about all the picks.
Exactly
I never get to
right.
go last on this deal. You shaft me every time on
Y'all
this deal.
Y'all complain more than anybody about these dadgum things. You start running it then if that's the case. My goodness.
Well, I'll go last every time. Hey, if you need a fence, you won't get shafted with a fence, man. That's absolutely right. Vinyl fencing, wood fencing. You want one of these custom wrought iron things like Clay Henry has around his mansion, you can get one of these with a big hog, or in his case, it says Hogs Illustrated. It's a big Hogs Illustrated logo. It's a beautiful custom wrought iron installation. Glorious. You can do any of these things, right, Henry?
Absolutely.
Automatic gates, guard shacks, all of it, right?
All of it.
Card readers.
What he put across mine is the razor wire, and we call that the John Neighbors razor wire.
Exactly. So Call Henry, quick no obligations quote. He'll come to you, Northwest Arkansas, the River Bounty, anywhere you're listening. 479-782-3936. That's 782-3936 for the Fence Man, and Henry will be on his way. Henry, good luck on your games this week.
I'll need it.
All right. Have a good weekend, man.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Former Razorback quarterback Tyler Wilson is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. We're really looking forward to catching up with him. I simply just put the poll question out there on our social media accounts at Hit That Line AR on Facebook and Twitter. Of just simple, who do you want to see start at quarterback for Arkansas tomorrow against Auburn? Now, of course, some of you like to be social media trolls and just throw out names like Matt Jones. You'd like to see Clint Sterner. You like to see Ryan Mallett.
Quinn Grovey.
You just like, you know, go to the guys that aren't realistic. So yeah, always appreciate
those.
I
couldn't spell Cal Cagney without looking it up. So I avoided that one.
Yeah, so obviously people having fun with it. But I would say, though, that the majority of the people who responded with a quarterback that's currently on the roster for the University of Arkansas has said that they want to see KJ Jefferson. And I know that we've discussed it. I know that it's about you want always the backup quarterbacks, the biggest hero that people want to see, especially when you're struggling. But I do think there is some merit to people wanting to see KJ because of the element right. he adds compared to what the other quarterbacks
don't
have.
This offense is the missing link of what they're doing now is a running quarterback. And I'll never forget, you know, the Springdale Five, you know, went to see Coach Broyles, the thought that they wanted to see Gus, you know, have the full reins of the offense. And, you know, there were some, you know, Coach Broyles told him, he says, this offense requires a running quarterback. And that was the little magic tidbit that came out of that meeting. And I think he was right. Coach Broyles was right about a lot of things. And when you put a running quarterback in this spread, it is a tough animal to contend with.
I'm all for KJ Jefferson playing, but I'm not for him playing in five games this year. It's only for four. Under no circumstance burn a red shirt. And I'm for playing him in four games that he makes a difference in the bottom line, and that's winning and losing. I don't think this is a game where he can come in and make a difference in winning and losing. So this isn't a game I necessarily want to see him this week or next, but those last four, put him in there. I don't know if he can make a difference against LSU, but I think three of the last four, Clay, he can make a difference.
Yeah, well, and there's – I'm with you partly on that, but I've sit and talk with John Chavis about what you get from a sophomore when he's played some as a freshman, and that they prepare differently once they figure out, I'm going to be in a game. They become more serious. It's all their study. Because they don't, this is for real now. I'm and it will speed up their development. And you know, Bumper Poole was not a good player last year, but he is a much better player this year for having played last year. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, I mean, game experience means a lot, and it goes a long way, especially for a lot of these young guys.
But burning his red shirt should be a fireable offense.
But play four games. He may not can make a difference, but he's going to get his feet wet, I guess is what I'm saying.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, he should play four games.
I think we're all in agreement on that. Well, the quarterback situation is an interesting one, and I can't think of anybody that we could have on the show that'd be better to talk about the quarterback situation than Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback. Tyler, appreciate you joining us this morning, man. How you doing?
I'm good, fellas. I'm sitting down here in Central Florida right now. I'm actually going to the UCF ball game this weekend. So
you're on the beach right now. You got your toes in the water and your butt in the sand right now, don't you?
I wasn't going to go that far, but I might be.
Good for you.
I'm like, hey, I don't blame you at all, man. I'm sure it's pretty enjoyable. Well, Tyler, there's a lot of things going on with this Razorback football team that we want to get to with you. But first off, I want to ask you about this quarterback situation that Arkansas finds themselves in, because now after six games, you're heading into the Auburn game at home where you don't have a starting quarterback named. It could be Ben Hicks. It could be Nick Starkel. Nick Starkel struggled mightily against the Kentucky Wildcats. Ben Hicks played a little bit better. But it certainly seems like just like a messy situation right now with the quarterbacks in Arkansas. What do you make of this situation?
You know, I think there's a constant struggle and battle, and you look at the staff since they've come here, they have continually had the same struggles and challenges at the quarterback position. And you don't know if that's self-inflicted, if that's caused by preparation from the offseason and indecision going into the offseason and into training camp and then into week one and two and three. And I mean, we had the same thing happen last year, and it really hasn't been due to injury. It's been due to, we don't know which one's going to go out there and do what we've tried to coach them to do. And, you know, that's a problem. You know, and you feel like you've got one guy maybe with talent, one guy with maybe not as much talent, but has some more consistency. And I think you had the exact same problem last year. You had one guy that you felt like had arm talent, but you had another guy that you felt like would do or try to do as best to his ability what you try to coach him to do. And you know, that's, you know, I don't know if that's a development issue. I don't know if that's a training and coaching issue, or if that's just the fact that you've got guys that haven't played and don't have a lot of track record being in this program around these players. And my gut is it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Hey, I want to bring up something that the mechanics of quarterback, because Jordan Rodgers was pointing out some things in Nick Starkel's passing mechanics last week that I think resonated with people watching about where his foot was pointing, his knee, and this kind of thing. You're a golfer. You played baseball. You pitched. Obviously, we know about your quarterback career as well. When things aren't going right, can you make in-game adjustments? I mean, we see coaches come to the mound and make adjustments with pitchers and get them straightened out. Mm-hmm. When you're on the golf course and the ball's going left, you know what adjustments to make after you've had a golf lesson. How is it at quarterback? You've been there where things maybe aren't going your way that day. Is it a deal where you can get to the sideline and make those adjustments? How is it different as a quarterback? Walk us through that.
Well, first of all, let's look at Nick Starkel when nobody's rushing him and he's throwing it. He's as good a thrower as anybody out there in the country. And, you know, I felt like there's certain guys that are just really gifted in that department. You look at Patrick Mahomes doesn't look at his receiver when he throws it, and half the time his left foot's going away from where he's throwing it. And you've got guys with tremendous arm talent that can get away with you know, let's just be right to it. The dad that's at the AAA baseball park in the summer and travel league, tell him to get their elbow up, you know, I mean, or get the, you know, I mean, there's people that once you get to that level that have an arm talent that I'm not saying everything has to be pointed the right direction and be the right direction in order for you to throw from multiple angles and multiple arm slots and under duress and some people pulling at you. That's why you're playing at this level, is because you have an arm talent. When somebody's grabbing your jersey and pulling you the opposite direction to be able to make a throw,
Mahomes,
and make it throw accurately. So if everything has to be perfect for you to throw the ball, well, you're probably not good enough to play in the SEC, because things aren't going to be perfect, because people are going to be in your face. You're going to be moving the opposite direction. So that's not the problem with Starkel. I think that the problem with Starkel is that you've got a decision making problem. It's not a ability. Can he make the throws or can he not make the throws? It's can he make the right throw and where to and at what time? And, you know, that's the challenge. And so I wouldn't critique, you know, those guys and their mechanics, as much as I would critique their decision making, skills. So, you know, I don't know all the details what Jordan was talking about, but, you know, obviously, His older brother Aaron Rodgers is as good as anybody in the country, and he has the most unorthodox footwork situation as anybody, and he throws while he's moving backwards about half the time. So, yeah, but I'll say this: Aaron Rodgers makes decisions that are on point every single time, and he never jeopardizes his football team when he's in the game. And I think that's the thing you talk about with Starkel and Hicks.
Yeah, I think. And Tyler, that just to, and Tyler would never say this, but that's what Tyler did really well. I can remember Petrino saying that, hey, there's certain throws that Mallett made that Tyler Wilson couldn't make, but there were a bunch, sidearm, flips, moving one way, throwing it the other way. some of that unorthodox stuff where your feet weren't pointing in the right direction, but you could deliver a dime. And I was amazed at some of those throws you made, Tyler. And that's I kind of define that as a gamer. I mean, it's just he's a guy that goes out there and he balls and he games.
Here's the deal, Clay. You can have the strongest arm in the country, okay? I want you to go. You can go back to the NFL. They've got these, like, you know, those meters that show you how far the completions go, and it'll, like, track the yards. There is less than 1% of every ball that's ever thrown that goes over 50 yards in a game. Less than 1%. And I would even say even a completion, 0.5%. Most balls are completed, even deep balls, are completed between 34 and 41 yards down the football field, even your deep throws. So you know, that's where – then there's those mid-range balls where velocity is important. But one of the things, okay, and separate from, you know, Mallett and I, one of the things, my completion percentage was higher. Get balls in the people's hands where you can have – give them a chance to make a play. And the balls, those intermediate to those 10 to 15 to 20-yard throws, are not coming in at speeds that are difficult to make catches. They're not coming in at angles that are difficult to make catches. They're catchable balls, and that's the game. And then even on those deep throws, those 34 to 41 yards, those aren't balls you have to have arm strength to throw 80 yards down the football field. That's great if you can stand on your knees or lay on your butt and throw the ball 80 yards down the football field. But how many times a game do you do that? Maybe one at halftime at the end of the game if you got a Hail Mary. But that doesn't do you any good. So, yeah. You know, that's a theory in some of this. It's decision making. That's what the quarterback position is all about. And unless we have a guy that consistently can put us in positions and not jeopardize the game. And I think that's probably where you're going to see Ben Hicks probably play more this weekend is you just want a guy that the guy with all the talents, great, but you need a guy that can push you in positions to also win a football game.
You know, the irony is that's the guy they started with, but he didn't really seem to have a sense of urgency. He held the ball, early, but now it looks like he is playing with a sense of urgency, Tyler. And I mean, somehow he's flipped that switch.
You know, I it was like the first game. Was it Portland State, right?
Right.
It seemed like he came in and it was just Johnny too cool. You know, he'd look over the sideline and kind of wink and shrug and we'll get him next time. And then Starkle came in and you know, was just had a command at the line of scrimmage that was like, okay, there's that energy we're looking for. And then you pulled him a couple games and he comes in against Texas A&M. And you know, I think it's that man, I lost my job. I've got to get it back. And sometimes sometimes playing with a guy's ego, heart, or whatever it is a way you get that best out of them. And, you know, you hope I've certainly seen Ben Hicks play better, you know, since they've juggled him a little bit.
Well, Tyler, and about the quarterback position, and I know we're hammering it a lot, but I think it's important, especially in this game. If you're Starkle or Hicks or whoever's going to be the quarterback in this game, you're going to be going up against arguably one of the best defensive lines in the country in Auburn, and you know that your offensive line has struggled a little bit. So how is Arkansas going to be able to compensate for that offensively? How are they going to be able to combat that, knowing that that D-line is going to be coming after that quarterback? What are the things that they need to do?
Well, guys, I mean, I think, again, this football game is kind of similar to one we talked about with Texas A&M. And you think it's a long shot. I think Arkansas is it 19.5?
Yeah.
Is that what the line's at?
Yeah.
19.5 points right now. You know, so obviously Vegas and all the money that's behind everybody's hip pocket is not favorable that Arkansas is going to win this football game. So, and I don't think you're anywhere near being where you need to be as a program to almost just walk in and wink at everybody like we're going to win. You know, you certainly can win this football game, but the likelihood of that is slim. And so as we're talking about what Arkansas needs to do, separate from winning the football game, to be competitive in the football game, that's protect the football. That is scheme some things up, be as creative as you possibly can, and go out there and fight. I mean, scratch and claw and give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter to do something similar to what you did against Texas A&M. And it's not rocket science, but it's not. I don't think we need to consume ourselves with how Arkansas tries to win this game, other than they just we need something to give. I think that confidence back, similar to what we had against A&M, that this football team's capable of being competitive in the fourth quarter.
I don't know how many Auburn games you've gotten to watch this year since you've been watching a lot of Arkansas games, but what do you think of their freshman quarterback and how he's played in Bo Nix?
Man, kid is 3 years from now, I think, or even 2 years from now, we're going to be sitting talking about that kid is a Heisman Trophy candidate. And, you know, I think from you know, he looks like a senior in high school. You know, he has that baby face to him, but when he gets out there and plays, he doesn't have the best arm. And I think right now that's the best thing that you can ask for at Arkansas. Is he's probably not just going to beat you all over the yard with his arm, but where he will beat you is those inside those run options. And when he reads the option and pulls and makes some plays with his feet, and he'll dive for first downs, and he plays like a young quarterback has to play when he doesn't know probably the things that he'll know 2 and 3 years down the road from you. But he's a heck of a player and gritty, and Malzahn's got him a good one.
Well, Tyler, actually, I wanted to ask you about Gus Malzahn, because he, as far as how coaches can go, especially at a place like Auburn, he's done very well. I know Auburn fans will get a lot of frustrations with him and always feel like he's on the hot seat, but he's done a really good job. And he's a guy that obviously has a lot of roots in Arkansas. What do you make of Gus Malzahn, and why has he found such success in college football, where a lot of coaches that are similar to his style and philosophy have failed, especially when it comes to big time school? What is it about him that makes him successful?
I think Malzahn's got that it factor, and that's what everybody talks about when they're evaluating players and evaluating coaches, and which is the right coach for your program, you know. And they've got it here, but they maybe don't have it over here at this school. And they, you know, when they try to switch cultures and adapt cultures is really tough. I mean, it really is, and that's why. You know, some up and comer might do a really good job at Memphis, and then he gets the job at UCF, and then all of a sudden he gets the job at Nebraska, and things are tough again. Malzahn's done it everywhere he's been. Everywhere. I mean, it's like he's got this magic dust or something, and he just walks around at Hughes. Was it Hughes? Or I think it was Hughes.
Hughes,
and then
yeah.
It was Shiloh Christian turns that place into fairy dust, and then he goes to Springdale, and then to Arkansas, and all of a sudden we're playing the SEC championship game. You know, when does that happen? And then all of a sudden he's at Tulsa, and you got all time school passing records at Tulsa, and you've got and then back to Auburn. They go to a national championship. He leaves, goes to Arkansas State, and you obviously know what happened there. And then back to Auburn and had an unbelievable run. So, you know, the fairy dust, which is Gus Malzahn, it's that it factor and ability to touch, I think, make the best player out of what he's got. I mean, that guy increases, it's like Mike Leach in the sense of that guy increases 10 basis points of good anytime Gus Malzahn's in his presence. And I think he has a way. Culture is really, really good in his program everywhere it's been. So, you know, that's my evaluation of Gus. And one thing he always says is, I've got 14 points in my pocket. Meaning, every football game that he walks into, it doesn't matter what kind of players he's got. Doesn't matter how bad his quarterback is or how good his quarterback is. He's got two touchdowns and trick plays.
Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback. Always appreciate you hopping on with us, Tyler. Enjoy Central Florida, my man.
All right. Thanks, fellas. You guys go get them this weekend. Hopefully it's a good ball game on Saturday.
All right. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, man.
All right. Fun stuff down from the Sunshine State. And Tyler Wilson here with us.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Well, I guess we have to get Persistent Rod on from I-540 on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Rod has called about three different times this morning, and each and every time we either had a guest or we had...
Bad timing, yeah, Rod.
It was all bad timing, Rod. Nothing personal, but we finally got you on, man.
All right, I wasn't going to call at all, except you said the magic word. You're trying to jinx my Western Kentucky game, the only one that we got left I feel good about, and I'm not giving up my 3-9. You said that they could actually upset us, and I suppose Ty Story is going to be quarterback for that upset. So I had to call in and say, knock it off, man. Don't jinx us. Can't have that.
Well, I don't think jinxing or anything like that is going to have any sort of impact. They've been jinxed enough. Maybe you got to do the unjinxing.
Rod, if we had that kind of power, we wouldn't be working here, all right?
That's right.
Yeah, I just thought I would. Glad y'all were on. I've been listening to y'all all morning, of course. Y'all have had guests just almost nonstop. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not really sure that anything could help our situation right now, to be honest. I mean, I would probably come out and run my offense in a pro style just to mess with Gus Malzahn. He's looking for the spread and all that, and I say, yeah, here, you take this, Gus. This was confusing for about 30 seconds, but, you know, it'd be fun, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Just come out in a pro style.
Yeah.
Tight end, you know, got Hudson Henry on one side, Shane on the other side. And, of course, you know, a couple of series later, we'll put it all back to normal.
Yeah. Beat them a flashback.
Just to mess with Gus.
I want to know what normal is nowadays. The new normal? Yeah.
I don't think
normal
there is.
Normal is losing.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's become the norm. That's become the norm. But I always appreciate you calling in, Rod. Appreciate your phone call.
Have a good weekend.
And you as well. And for being persistent, no doubt about it. Love that. But what was it? Was it 2013? I'm trying to remember. The game where Arkansas and Auburn played each other, and you had the Auburn player fake the injury.
No, that would have been because 13 they played.
It was in Fayetteville.
It should have had been 14 because 13 was down there because that was the one they opened the season and it was hot. And that kind of started.
14 was that.
The SEC.
14? Yeah. That was being a second year.
Okay.
So it wasn't 13. Right. Clay, do you remember that when you had the Auburn linebacker? Don't remember his name.
I don't keep track of years, but yeah. I
remember what you're talking about. Though. Yeah, it's in the south end zone.
And then they made a big deal. It's like, he does have a knee injury, will not be at practice today.
Yeah. It was like he got sniped.
Serving,
you know?
Yeah, he was serving a one game injury suspension.
Yeah.
Mm. I think it seems like it's becoming a lot more common. Especially in college football, and because you see it almost game in and game out, and it's really hot. I know we're bringing this up, but it's like it's difficult. I'm sure as an official and as football, it's like, okay, so how can you combat that? Like, can you just say? Yeah, I mean,
you can't do it.
Because what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong and you don't? Well, we're not stopping the game.
Hey,
you were wrong.
Just so you guys know, the officials are fine with it. They get to rest too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't think they do?
No,
you know, I guarantee you they do.
No, I'm sure.
Tommy will deny this, and bless his heart, he's a good official, and I've seen him work, but I've seen officials in basketball that, like, there hadn't been any fouls called, and they're going down and up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. All at once, they call a foul, and we're going to shoot some free throws.
We're shoot like, four free throws.
Yeah, we're going to shoot.
We're going to take our time.
We shot two on one end, and we're going to shoot two on the other end, and now we're ready to go again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I played catcher in Pony League baseball, and the umpire and I would talk, and he was also a basketball ref. And fast forward, you know, 5 months later, and I come into the game, and he goes, hey, you want to shoot some free throws? And I was like, there's a ghost. I didn't even know anybody was behind me. It's the official. And we're running down the court the other way, and almost the whistle blows, and it's like, 12, you're on the line shooting two, intentional foul. You caught an elbow. And I was like, I did?
Well, sometimes, you know, you got to get a break, you know? If you're not everybody can be in shape.
The
like
players are always younger than, pear-shaped.
Yeah.
The players are always younger than the refs, always.
Yeah, it's true. I'm just, the faked injury, it's a tough deal to call.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Not an official is like, I don't think you're hurt.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Are you a doctor? Well, no, I'm a radio man.
Says, Mr. Referee, I've got cramps. Yeah, you do. I see that now.
Yeah.
Here's some Idol.
Yeah,
it's the sideline.
Yeah. Can't have that. Can't have that at all. That was just a funny story from the Arkansas-Auburn game. Now, Clay, something that you had brought up earlier in the show that you wanted to discuss, and something that we were discussing when we were talking about Darren McFadden and him being honored tomorrow and being part of the Hog Walk, is you were asking about who is the greatest Arkansas high school football player that you've ever seen play. Is that kind of what you were looking
at?
Yeah,
I mean, and you could say it's McFadden. I mean, you could say that. I mean, his numbers and what he did at Oak Grove were phenomenal, and the people that saw him play in high school. I did not see him play in high school. The guy that I did see that I would say I'd put at the top of my list, and so we've had this discussion over the last 3 months at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, because we've published, and it should be out in a couple of weeks, a high school football book where we picked the all-time Arkansas high school football team. And my pick for the greatest player ever in the history of Arkansas high school football is Jerry Eckwood. I mean, it just was not fair that he was on the football field with the players that he played against in that era. Yeah. I mean, he was in. So, Tommy, who was your guy?
I would have to go one of two players. Bazil Shabazz at Pine Bluff was probably the best player I saw.
Not going to argue with that.
He when I was at Southside High School in the early 90s, he was at Pine Bluff. He was a year or two ahead of me, but he was just unstoppable and an unbelievable football, basketball, baseball athlete. Played pro baseball, but maybe one of the best athletes to ever come out. There was another guy named Kaneko Logan that played at Northside, and every time he touched the ball, it was a touchdown. So he might have been, he'd be in my top two or three easily. Logan was an unbelievable running back at Northside.
See, the thing is I haven't watched a whole lot of high school football in my life. And as far as some of the players that have come through this state, just recently, I mean, Darren McFadden would definitely have to be up there, at least in my generation. And you know, you never know it at the time. But to me, it may have been just more of the team, but it was obviously the quarterback was a big part of it. Is watching Mitch Mustang and that Gus Miles on Springdale offense. And again, I'm not saying
Damian Williams was so good. I mean, Mitch would throw that little out pass behind the line of scrimmage, a little bubble screen, and then boop. Yeah. 70 yards.
I mean, but you had him, you had Ben Cleveland, you had Andrew Norman, you had Matt Klinkscales was the running back. I mean, you had a lot of guys. Zach Pinalto was on that team.
But who was the guy that went to the NFL and stayed in the NFL?
Well, right. I mean, it was Damian.
Yeah,
but
he was the guy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but there's a lot of great high school players that never make it to the league.
I understand.
Though,
we're talking about high school players.
But right.
He was the one that made that team.
Yeah, what made that team great was that it had all those players.
Yeah, yeah.
I talked to the Jinx head football coach who played that team, and he says that to play that Springdale team, you needed four Division I cornerbacks to match up with all those receivers, because he says Mustang would just look to the sideline and Gus would point to the one that was covered by the least ability, you know, cornerback. Now, I'm going to throw one more guy out there that nobody will ever think, you know, that could be the all-time greatest high school football. Wayne Harris from El Dorado, a linebacker who ended up playing in the Canadian League for about 15 years and was MVP of the Canadian Football League, is a defensive linebacker. So, bonus points. If anybody can give me his nickname, you get a point in our pick 'em contest. Can any of y'all?
No idea.
Have a
what
guess.
Was his, what was What was his nickname?
Pinto Bean.
He's a linebacker.
I don't know.
Pinto Bean.
The Thumper.
The Thumper.
No. He was the Thumper.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great nickname. And you had Dirt Winston, and you had the Thumper.
Mm-hmm.
You need a Thumper right now at Arkansas, and you might have a chance against Auburn if you could bring a Thumper out on the field.
Yep.
We have a few people that are texting in that wanted to say their own piece. JT Knott Spring says, Madre Hill was the best I saw while in high school.
I saw Madre Hill play.
Great player.
What year would that have been?
It's in Malvern, right? Was it?
Yeah.
That Malvern is right.
Yeah, he played at Malvern. I'm trying to remember what year it was. I think they came to Greenwood and played, and it was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it was him. Let's see.
David Alpey, the head coach at Malvern, will tell you the best he ever had might have been Keith Traylor, who ended up playing for the Broncos. You know, Arkansas didn't recruit him. Went to junior college and then to Oklahoma, then to Central Oklahoma, and then ended up with the Broncos as a defensive lineman. Yeah. Play linebacker at Malvern.
Well, Sean Andrews has to be somewhere in this conversation. He's just a lineman.
A lineman.
He's a lineman, and no one's going to probably bring up lineman. But he was probably one of the best linemen to ever come out of this state.
Yeah, he's on our team.
Oh, yeah.
He's on that team.
Has to be. Yeah. Has to be. Tanner in Tupelo says...
Wayne Martin.
Yeah.
Cherry Valley.
Yeah. Tanner in Tupelo says, first ever Landers Award winner, Landon Leach. Now, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Yeah, from Russellville. He came to Arkansas, too. Never really played much, but...
Well, he tore up his shoulder. That was his problem. Yep.
Yeah. Billy Warren from Newport?
Played Arkansas. Got hurt in the All-Star game. Yep. Okay. Dudley, he was Dudley's teammate. Dudley blocked for Billy Warren.
Dudley was a lineman?
No, he was a fullback.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, that was back in the I formation. You had a fullback. I know that's before your time, John. Yes. There was actually a fullback on the field.
Oh, man, those days were
long. Hey, this is fun.
Ago.
We could do a whole show on this type stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll say this. I mean, he played football, but it wasn't what he's known for. But I will say the greatest athlete that I've ever personally watched was Wallace Spearman. The guy, track athlete, Olympic played basketball, medalist, played football. Yeah, so, I mean, just the fact that he could do all that.
It takes athletic ability to run that curve in the 220, doesn't it?
It sure does, Clay.
There's no doubt about it.
Can't tell you how many hours I've worked on it.
All right, real quick, we got about 30 seconds, Clay. Arkansas, Auburn, what's the score tomorrow for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody in our magazine, picked the spread. Almost exactly what this point spread is, 18, 19, 20. I think I had it 21. So, yeah, it's 38 to 17, something like that. This is going to be hard for them to protect. To throw the ball much tomorrow.
Yeah, Tommy?
54-21 Auburn.
54-21, that's fair. I think, I don't remember exactly what I picked in the magazine, but 45-20 is what I'm going with. Auburn getting the victory. Appreciate everybody listening into the Morning Rush today. For Tommy Kraft and Clay Henry and Maddie T, I am John Neighbors. Same sports show, same sports channel next Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you then.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.